Hi, my name is Hannah Lynn Miller, and I'm obsessed with three things: fashion, therapy, and theology. And even though they may not seem to connect, this podcast is all about how those three things really do. Not only do they intersect, but you'll find that they are tools for helping you navigate hard things like the question of who am I, what is my purpose, and how do I change my life narrative? I have around 8 years of radio broadcasting experience, and I recently quit my Chicago radio job to start a media marketing business and finish my clinical mental health counseling degree. I live on the west side of Chicago with my cat, Karen, and my handsome pastor man husband, John Miller. We are going to get real, hang out, laugh, and talk about knowing and owning who you are created to be. Think of this as a place where you can chat about your favorite fashion trends and then ask hard questions about mental health, relationships, and your faith. So basically, we're going to cover all the things. Most importantly, that your identity is covered in what Jesus did on the cross for you. I get to talk to my little brother, Adam Flutterer, here on the You Are Covered podcast. Hey, Adam, what's up?
Hey, Hannah. It's so good to be here.
I'm so glad you're here.
Yeah, thanks for having me. This is just a fun place to the dialogue about entrepreneurship, biblical topics. So I'm excited to just kind of unravel what we'll talk about today.
We're going to talk about all the things. We are going to cover all the things. But we're going to start off with, who are you and what is your latest project? What have you been up to?
Whoa. Okay. Yeah. Let's just start off with that. Big questions. Who are you? Oh my goodness.
Yeah. Who are you?
That's reminds me of a song.
Okay. Would you want to sing it?
No. But oh my gosh, that's always been like, it's always been the question that kind of, you know, it really kind of ravels, or I don't know, it does something to my brain.
Where who are you question?
Yeah, but I'll give the answer that I can best give. So I would say, first and foremost, I'm a child of God, and I'm learning about that more and more each day, learning how to be a son of God.
I love that.
Yeah. And that informs everything else that I am or that I believe about myself. Also a dynamic creative. And so I like to dip my toes into things like music.
Wait. What does that mean? Dynamic creative. Like, is that, I feel like that's like something that you put on your bio or something. Like, did you think of that ahead of time? Like, what is that? You got to define that.
Okay, so even when I was working at a marketing agency, I was thinking, I was like, what? Because you do LinkedIn titles, right? And I was thinking, I was like, what should my title be? Even as like a marketing associate, I was like, you know, this is what I do for work, but like, who am I? And I would say a dynamic creative is someone who, you know, is, I don't know, practices all types of creativity. So, I think that creativity isn't just, and like creating isn't just limited to, let's say, like the typical arts that we think of like writing, painting, photography, music. It would be like, even just creativity in like everyday life. Like, I mean, fashion is creative, like whatever, like how you express yourself is creative. So I'd say like in a lot of aspects, I like to practice creativity and just being expressive, being myself and seeing how I can do that in different ways, whether that's through what I wear, what I listen to, music, how I interact with people, photography, like the more basic things that we like think of. So I'm learning how to do those things more and more, but I would say I'm a dynamic creative who just who loves being around people. I'm not introverted at all. So I have that balance.
That is like the most understated statement ever. You are like, if anybody thinks that I'm extroverted, like you're like 20 million times more.
I've never heard you say that.
Really?
Yes. That's why.
because you are, you're just like, I feel like you're always around people. I would say, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like you have a lot of friends that are just kind of like in this wider circle around you, and then you're very intentional about like your like inner circle, even though that inner circle is probably like bigger than most people's, but you also have like you're able to have other people around you who may not know everything about you, but you're willing to share life with. Is that, do you think that that's right?
That's super accurate.
Because I just feel like everyone will know you. Everyone wants to have a conversation with you, and you're totally willing. But I think that you also have like really close friends who know like you very deeply, which is different, right?
Yeah,
Yeah.
it is different. And it really it's beyond me how those people in my inner circle like get there. It's I don't really understand it, how it happens, because I'm really bad with like intentionality. And so proximity has been like
Okay.
has been how like yeah most of my deep friendships have developed in the way that they have. And so that's been really cool for me.
Yeah.
I'm still
Yeah.
learning about that. Yeah.
Well, I think it's how many years have you graduated from? You graduated from Cedarville University with a degree in business and marketing, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And how many years has it been?
It's been since I graduated just a year and 3 or 4 months.
Okay.
So yeah, I am
Yeah.
so fresh out of the easy college dorm life community, and it's so
Yeah. Yeah, totally. It's just
life is
different.
so different from that. I just couldn't imagine. But yeah, anyway, I'll finish up saying this, answering this deep question
Yeah, definitely.
that you've posed for me. But
Who are you?
yeah,
What do you
so
do?
to finish it off, yeah, I'm an extrovert, definitely an enthusiast. I get really stoked on little things like being around people, doing things that bring me life, like being on the beach, listening to music, hiking, swimming. Swimming is a big one.
You've always liked swimming. It's so
I've
funny.
always loved it,
Like
but
since you were little.
yeah, exactly. And right now I'm pursuing full-time photography, and that's not been something new, but the full-time aspect has been new. So I financially rely on that, and
Which is
creating
a big
for
step, I feel like.
it really is. Yeah, no, it's honestly kind of wild to me. It sometimes it doesn't really make sense. Like in my mind, I'm like, is that really what I'm doing right now? Oh yeah. Like it's a
So,
part. It's funny. I like feel like, yeah, like career has looked so differently, just
because
has
you
changed.
were working like 10 hours, I feel like, in a day beforehand, and now you probably are just, whatever comes your way, you're like, okay, let's do it. But it's not like a set amount of time and tasks, right?
Yes.
Which is the best part about working for yourself.
It is. And the funny thing is that work that I do is so scheduled ahead of time. And
Yeah.
so it's so intentional. It's probably way more than what I was doing before, which can be challenging because it still has that aspect of like, you need to be here from this time to this time and
Yeah.
you need to be on your game. So, like, that's an interesting aspect, even though everything else is super spontaneous,
Fluid.
flexible, yeah,
Yeah.
fluid.
But like the event itself, because most of your jobs are coming from weddings, right? So you're a wedding photographer.
Yes.
Okay. And what is your website like for people who are curious to find your stuff?
Yeah, so it's adamfletterer.com.
Okay.
Just my full name
Yeah.
right
And
up on there.
so that's my maiden last name. So if you want to look it up, I'll have it in the description because it's spelled super funky.
Miller is a little bit easier.
It is so much easier, but you know what? It's not as unique. So I do miss the uniqueness of it
Oh, I think
because
it rolls off the tongue well, though.
what does?
Anna Miller.
That's because there's like 20 bazillion Hannah Millers out there.
Really? Oh, shoot. That's why I remember this.
That's why I go, honestly, like that's a big reason why I go by Hannah Lynn Miller, because there's just so many. But yeah, it is a pretty ring to it. I do appreciate that, Adam.
Shout out, John.
Oh yeah, poor John. Oh man. But yeah, I mean, so it's PFLEDRER. So once somebody gets the hang of it, don't you find that if somebody like can spell our last name, they will never forget it? Have you
Yeah,
found
I
that
think
to be
so.
true? Yeah.
I think so. Some people get it off the bat, which I am really impressed with.
Me too. I
But
like
other
it.
people, I have to say, it's just like Roger Federer with
A
a
P
P
and an
and an
extra
L,
E.
like
Or,
yeah, sandwiching on the
yep.
F. But that sometimes confuses people even more.
Oh
They're like, "Who the heck is that?" And
no.
I'm like, "How do you not
You
know?"
know, tennis.
Right.
That is so funny. I do not miss that. I really don't. So, yeah, that's always a good time. It is. But anyways, check out his photography business. And so how is it going? Like I mean, when this goes out, you'll be a few months in, but right now, how many months are you in?
Yeah, wow. I'm just two, let's see, it was end of May. Yeah, I'm 2 months into not working a 9 to 5, not being in school. And it has amplified all of my vices, all of my.
Oh no, tell me about it. Tell me about
Yeah,
this.
I think this is the realest thing I could say.
Yeah.
And I hope it's an encouragement to anyone who's either thinking about it, but it's super real. And I just like, yes, there's awesome parts to it. And it like has amplified all the good things about work of like, you like, I'm creating things that like I tell myself how to create what I'm creating. Or like, I'm the boss to myself, telling like what it should this look like. And that's been really cool. And I feel more proud of it. I feel I have way more ownership over my work, which is awesome.
No
And
one's telling you what to do.
yeah, and that can be good, but I feel like I have a unique perspective to show, and I'm trusted with that, and that's awesome.
Yeah.
But all of the things in the back end of freelancing and running a business is like,
Oh man, it's such a learning curve.
yeah, it has definitely like, it's enhanced my procrastination. It has enhanced my disorganization. And it's enhanced my like desire to have fun, but also my fears. And so it's so interesting. I just feel like everything in life is kind of turned up a notch, because you have more time to think. And that is in some ways good, because I do feel like I've had more time to confront things that have been deep seated in my heart, and like fear of people and what they might think. And I took a break from social media like
Recently, right?
a month.
Wow.
Yeah, a little bit over a month, and that was really helpful. But I just needed kind of a think of time to not make anything for people to see other than like the work I was doing.
Wow. How did that help you?
Yeah,
Like, what did you find?
it's kind of a re it was a good reset of like, okay, why am I doing this? Like, what are the benefits to it? And I found that like, the cool thing about social media and with photography especially is that I'm actually able to serve my clients better by celebrating them on social media. And so when I wasn't doing that just in a month, I was like, oh shoot, like, yeah, I'm not showing how excited I am to show off the work I've created and the wedding of this couple that I just got to, celebrate with,
Witness, yeah.
and share and capture their moment. So I do think that, yeah, there's something to be said about just the action of like celebrating others on social media, celebrating their victories, and in the ways that like they've trusted you with capturing their vision. They want to see, or capturing their wedding. They want to see that you're excited about the photos just as much as they are. And I think that's a really cool aspect just about the wedding industry on social media.
Yeah, I could totally see that.
Yeah. So I'm getting back to that, and I'm excited and feeling a bit refreshed, but still it's a grind.
Yeah, so you're saying social media is a grind.
Yeah, and just the business aspects of.
Yeah. What specifically do you think is the hardest part about, owning your own business, stepping out and doing that?
For me, it's actually, I think, like giving grace to myself. So, like being like okay with mistakes or needing help. Like that's been really hard. I'm highly critical of myself. I don't know if
Yeah,
you felt
I
that.
totally am too. I don't know where that comes from, but I definitely beat myself up in my head. And I think that's really hard to be an artist and do that. So yeah, but and I think a lot of people feel that way. Some people don't. Like my husband, John, does not. And but you know what? He's helpful because he will like point it out when I'm doing it to myself. So I think having good friends and people around you to help you, but what do you think has been helpful, like knowing that you do that, and then also how do you get beyond that? Because that could be a creative block in the making.
Yeah. No, it has been. It's been really hard actually to share my work and even to work on my stuff because of just being in that place of like being overcritical. And I think and I th there's this interesting, I think, balance of you can't always be creatively inspired. You can't always be and I think that's what I'm critical of is this sometimes this like lackluster this lackluster feeling of like, gosh, I don't know if I can really be that
Into this.
artistic, inspired person today for this. And I think it's good to recognize that and to like really be honest with yourself. So I'm working, that's what I'm learning right now is just like being brutally honest with where I'm at of like, yeah, I may not be inspired today. I may actually feel super lazy and like fearful today and critical of that. You know what I mean? I may feel all the bad feelings.
All the bad feelings
And
in one time.
yeah, and that may be a sign to take a break and step back
Yeah.
or to push through.
I think too, and you're absolutely right. Like, I think as creatives, we have to know when we're feeling those feelings. Because what people don't understand about creativity and like creative people is that we actually get a lot more tired than other people. Because we creativity is energy and it's an assertion of energy. And so a lot of times creative people tend to need more sleep. They tend to just kind of ride that energy wave. And so when you have those influx of ideas, it's good to like ride that wave, right, Adam? Like that's kind of what you feel when you have those bursts of energy, and then but then you kind of sometimes you feel deflated, but it's hard when you have a deadline.
It is. And actually, you bring up a really interesting point because I have that adjustment of thinking differently about how to work been really interesting because I've felt really guilty about not working regularly, and having deconstructed routines. Like I've felt bad about it, but I think there's something I've forgotten is that like as a creative, you can afford to work when you're getting a spurt of creativity
Yes.
energy. Like you can wait on that and you can do things to try and foster that. It's not always going to be there. But I think, yeah, you bring up an interesting point of like a musician isn't going to really create their best work unless they are developing that creative energy, right? Or in resting well and they're paid to do that. Like they're paid
Yeah.
to develop, let's say music or art that isn't out there, and not necessarily to just create something just for the sake of doing it.
Creating, right.
Yeah.
But it's interesting because I think too, they're performers. So the show does have to go on. And it's funny because that they don't have a problem with. Most artists, they have the energy to go ahead and be like, okay, yeah, this Saturday night, I am playing this type of music and I'm getting on the stage and I'm interacting with people and that's what I'm going to do. I always find that really interesting how like musicians can just, you know, turn it on to perform. But maybe doing the administrative stuff, you can't do like on the regular. It's really fascinating. And I think it's okay to say that, Adam, you're designed differently and that, you know, it's okay to take breaks and to really listen to yourself, especially as a creative. And if, especially if you work for yourself, like you have, finally, you have the freedom to do that. And I think that's the cool part about being a contracted creative.
Yeah. It's such a learning process of finding, you know, it's just,
yes, I know, but that's good. I'm glad that you're like saying it out loud. Like I feel guilty, you know, when I'm not working and it's like, well, I mean, you don't have to work all the time, no. You know, and sometimes you learn those things from the people around you. Like, you know, I don't know. I feel like our dad is definitely really hard worker and, you know, was always working and it's just different. You know, it's not, we don't have the same career as he does. And he's in sales and constantly picking up the phone and stuff. And you and I don't have that.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, before that.
Yeah.
It's interesting. Cause he was a designer at first.
Yeah. And he moved up in the company.
Yeah. Yeah. And he knew he didn't. And I think he realized that like, yeah, to provide for a family, he couldn't just be a designer for the rest of his career. Mm-hmm. So I think he does have some
creative
uses, whatever, because he can draw like
we, I know.
We both have his handwriting too.
I know.
And like he can draw.
So really funny well. that you say that, like you and I have that kind of handwriting.
Yeah.
It's a little messy. Yeah.
It's
messy,
but it's kind of unique. Like it looks different.
Mm-hmm. And, you know? And I think too, he kind of functions as an artist. Sometimes he's just really made it work for himself. Like the older I get, the more I realize I'm definitely a lot more like my father, like our father. Like I definitely see that because he loves, I mean, he has a pretty flexible schedule if you think about it.
Yeah.
And yeah. he's flourished in it. And so it's no big surprise that you and I are doing that.
Yeah, it's interesting. He's loved the crafting more so physically, like beautiful landscape and stuff.
Yes.
And he's super detailed. And it's really cool. I think that learning from his very detail oriented mind has been really helpful. But even trying to balance the criticalness, you know, because he's always been so particular, but he's like, you know, he runs the cruise and is like, what is this? This doesn't even look good. What are we doing?
I know.
You know,
did he ever take you on a site, like a work site?
Never.
What?
I don't know if it's because he was embarrassed of me or that I was, or that I was going to show up
for the
cruise. You know what I mean? Like, I wish I would have been taken on a crew because I think I would have showed them up. No, I'm just kidding. I would have been so outworked.
So he never took you to a job in Chicago?
No, I just feel like if it ever crossed his mind, he was like, I need you to work at the house.
He needs to, you need to like go on a job site with him because that's actually fun. I think because I was in college in Chicago, I think I got to see that side of him a lot more. Our mom is calling me.
Oh my gosh.
I think that you need to ask dad to do that because I think that would be really fun. Yeah. And he like loves showing off his work. So I think one day you should definitely do that because it is really interesting. I would go to work with him and I would actually take his plans, like his old drawing plans, like the big sheets of paper for his landscape designs. And I would draw all over them.
Whoa.
Like no, that was something I did. You never did that either?
No.
I think that's why I like to paint, honestly.
That's so cool, actually.
Isn't that fascinating? I put that together like this year because I love doing buildings and then making them colorful. Like, it's interesting how when the things that you did when you were younger are things that you play out in adult life. Like, I think sometimes we forget what we enjoyed when we were kids, and that's something that we can do in adulthood and like make it a career sometimes. But I think you should ask Dad to go
I'll
on
have
a
to.
job site.
It'd be really interesting to see him
Yeah.
do some of that management and to see
It's
what's going
very
on.
fascinating. Like,
I've only passed by, planners and planters and stuff that he's worked on, and he's told
and he'll
me
be like, yeah, I did that planter and I did that
like,
one.
I planned that out. Planned it. Oh my God.
It's cool. I mean, because you should ask him actually for you to go to the Tribune Tower because that's what he has landscaped this year. And that is like a big deal. Like,
Whoa,
that's huge.
that's
So,
Chicago Tribune Building.
yeah, I don't know when you could do that though, but. Because you are in, I guess that's something we didn't talk about, but you are in South Carolina, North Carolina. South,
Yes, north,
North.
north.
I always say South and it's not South. Do you hear the sirens in the background?
No, I can't. It sounds really great, actually.
Oh, okay, that's good. Because there's sirens and mom has called me twice.
Oh, shoot. Wait,
Okay.
so Hannah, how has that, like, along the same lines of like running a business and developing your own brand, on the side, watering that, growing it, and then kind of giving over to it? What have you kind of taken away from that process as well? Something that's I'm curious about.
I think the biggest thing for me is that I am capable. I think that's the coolest thing that I've learned, like just kind of knowing that I'm capable and that I can make money and do this dang thing.
Do the dang thing.
Yes, and every day I tell myself that. And I'm the same way as you. Like, I totally beat myself up. Oh, I didn't put enough hours in for this one client, or I didn't get to posting, because I am like running social media accounts for six companies right now.
Jeez.
So it's a lot of juggling, but it's just like really fulfilling for me. The other thing that I found really amazing for me personally right now is being able to be there for family, like right now. I think this is like a season because my previous job was so all consuming and took so much energy from me. I had nothing left to give, like absolutely nothing to give relationally. So like it's been really fun to be able to just go and help mom and dad with Obi, our childhood dog. Like seriously, and then with John, like being able to have the emotional capacity to like listen to him, because I just didn't have that before because my job was so hard.
Wow.
Just emotionally was just so draining because you were talking, I was talking for 4 hours,
Wow.
like force talking almost
Yeah.
for 4 hours, and the energy it takes to do a live show for 4 hours is unbelievable. So it's,
Wow.
I had all this time and not a whole lot of energy. Now I have all this energy and not a whole lot of time, but I'd rather it this way.
Yes. Okay, let's go.
Yeah, and just being able to have the flexibility. Like, I was gonna record a podcast episode yesterday and I got halfway through and then I went to church and then Gloria called me and needed to be picked up from the airport. And it was just, it was no big deal. Like, I was just, it's just so crazy the amount of energy that I have now. It's amazing.
Yeah, exactly. You're like, I can do it later.
Yeah,
Work on it later.
totally. I can do it
Right.
later. I can turn on this microphone. Like, I don't have to feel tired all the time. So, I think that's the biggest thing.
What is your measure of success for like this season that now like you're freelancing and you're like providing for yourself? Like what has been like your measure of success, and can you see that changing
That's a really good question. I think if you would have asked me 5 years ago, I think I would have said just being creative and creating things that people haven't done before and growing platforms. Like I think I would have been that surface level. But during the season of my life, I measure health right now and or success by health. I'm like in just a season of like, I want healthy relationships. I want healthy just work life balance. Because I didn't have that for 8 years. And I want sleep and I want, you know what I mean? Like, I just,
You want a decently regular sleep schedule.
yeah, I do have a regular sleep schedule now, which is like amazing. Like, I can handle so much because of that. So I think it that is an interesting question because it does change depending on where you're at in your life season. Like, I think in my early 20s, I was really trying to figure out like who am I? And I also just wanted to be successful. Like I and in the number category and the being known category of like, you know, having a platform and having people listen to me and having like, you know, being on a big show in Chicago. Like, I genuinely wanted that. And that was success to me. Fame, probably, if I'm being honest, was success to me. And it was, I mean, it's a Christian show, but it, you know, so
You all know him.
it's well known in churches, you know, but it, I think now I just want health and deeper relationships and, and so I think I measure that by success and taking care of my family. So, you know, if that's financially right now, as I am going and finishing school and helping John with the bills and stuff, like that's to me, that's success.
Well,
So I think it, that's a good, that is a good question. What do you think it is for you right now?
yeah, that's cool. Well, I wanted to say, I think, yeah, relationships are so important. So I think that was really cool. That was a really cool way to answer it. Like, just healthier relationships. For me, yeah, gosh, I think I'm definitely still developing that. Because I think I would have said being like successful in this time would be, like for next year, I was like, I have a goal of like booking 20 weddings. And I was like, that seems like that would be success, right? Like, it would be way more sustainable than it is now. And I was like, that must be success. And then like, but the more I'm thinking about it, I'm like, okay, if that's not necessarily success. And I think it's a more holistic, more holistic measure of success that I'm going after right now is kind of like growing as an individual. And this process of like working for myself has really made me force me to grow like I think faster than like
Then you would if you
yeah I
stayed
think
at a
so
nine to five. What? That's so interesting, I feel like.
I think in facing things that I've always feared, yes. Like I've always feared like failing myself rather than like failing people. I've like feared like failing like a dream I've had.
Interesting.
And so I'm like starting to face that and be like, okay, well, so I've had dreams for a while to either to make music and to have like just to be able to drop everything and be there for someone or to go on a snowboarding trip in the middle of the winter and not have to worry about taking off time. Like, I don't know, to be able to surf. Like, I've always had these like personal dreams that I've like, okay, maybe someday, like, I've got to be super patient. And, but instead of like waiting forever and just kind of letting that fear drive, being like, more so, I guess, a fear of expectations and like, what if I don't make it? What if I don't survive? Like I'm not letting that hold me back anymore. So I'm like not as worried about I'm not worried about not getting 20 weddings. I'm not worried about, maybe I can't book enough wedding photography this year to not take a part-time job. And I think, and being okay with that has been, is like, that's my success right now, is like being okay with the process, how uncertain it is, the journey, how it's different for everyone. And being like excited for what can happen, even if like success starts to change. You know, I don't know. I don't even know if that makes sense.
Well, okay, so I think what you're, I think I understand, like your expectations, you are not wanting to be, you're not wanting to disappoint yourself, but you're going to still set goals. So it's kind of like that really hard balancing act of like, yeah, I'm going to set goals, but if we don't reach them, I'm not going to beat myself up about it. The personal goals, because I think you're right. Like a lot of times I'm the same way, is like, I don't want to hurt anyone else and let them down, but I really don't want to let myself down.
And I don't know if that's, and that may seem like super uninspiring, but I think it's also like framing, and even in the ways that you've said it, like you're not necessarily worried about making a bunch of money or like fame anymore. I'm not worried about making like photography make me have a name for myself, if you know what, you know what I mean? Like I am more so, my success would be like if I could see myself in terms of financial success isn't success. Even like followers on Instagram, being known for what you do, it's like, is it being like a great person to the people around you? Is it showing love to people? Is it serving them well and doing the work that you're doing? And still being able to do things that you love, like serving people and doing things that you love, and not being, I don't think I ever want to be just just one person, like something that somebody that doing is doing one thing. And I think there's people out there that are like that. They're like, I want to be known as like this person, and I don't think I want that. So
Yeah, I completely get that. You want to just be able to create. And I think there, so going back to dad, this is something he told me. He said that there's two types of entrepreneurs out there. There's the one that just loves to start things and make a whole bunch of money and then they restart things. So they're just like chronic entrepreneurs. And then there's the lifestyle entrepreneur. The ones that they live life, but they work to live the life that they want to live. And I think that's totally like where I'm at right now. Like, I'm like, I just want to live my life and make the money that I need right now and to have a beautiful, wonderful life and be there for the people that I love and care about. And like we're talking about health and like be able to be a healthy, like Christ follower, like, spiritually healthy too. Like if you're not sleeping and if you're, constantly stressed out, you're not a very loving person. You're not. It's so easy to fall into this, like, I have to do everything and I have to get there and I have to strive. It's like all this striving and shoulds where like when you have more of a like mindset of like, this is what I have to offer. This is how God has wired me. This is my purpose and I know what it is and I'm living this way. Like, I don't know. I just feel like the stress just peels off. And there's a lot more peace too.
And you're not constantly trying to necessarily like control everything in your life. I think giving up that like control of like you're like you can't financially control everything. I don't know. It's interesting. My good buddy that I live with, one of the guys, he freelances web design, and been really cool how the Lord's used his free time and his work to, it doesn't overwhelm him. He doesn't work a bunch, and he has so much time to like actually be hands and feet of Jesus, more than he ever has been in the past, he's ever been able to. And he has to still trust the Lord like with his finances like never before.
Wow.
It's like that's countercultural of
Yeah.
like he's not striving to make a bunch of money. He's not striving to just serve himself. He like is striving to live a lot more like a Paul, where he's tent making and being used by the Lord, like how he's been called to. And it's really interesting. And he's been able to do websites for churches and stuff and nonprofits and even in pro-life organizations. And it's like, whoa, like,
I love that. I think that's so cool. That's totally what I want to be able to do.
yeah.
But
And that's fulfilling, right? It's
yeah,
way more
so much more.
fulfilling than
Yeah.
like, okay, like let's say you're a famous photographer. Like, yeah, you've been able to help a bunch of people. You've created beautiful art. And I think there's something to be said for doing what you do well. Like, yeah, you should strive to be really great at what you do. But does that mean like having to develop this platform where you're going to make a multi-million dollar business or have to make like upwards of six figures plus? You know what I mean? Like, is that what it has to be? No, like it definitely doesn't. So I think this framework that we have of even freelance is, yeah, I think it can be unhealthy sometimes. So I think, yeah, I'm definitely more of a lifestyle entrepreneur.
Yeah, and I think it takes a lot of faith to be an entrepreneur. So I totally resonate with that it takes a lot of relying on God to like provide for the jobs and but it's really cool when God does bring along people in your life who are just amazing people and you get to work with them and it's like I'm working for a seminary and I never saw that one coming. Like I really had no idea. Like I'm
Wow.
managing social media for a seminary and I'm like, this is the best thing ever. And then I get to write, posts that are basically devotionals. I'm like, wow, this is so aligning with my purpose. Like God knew. And I knew I found out about this person, the person who's like organizing the center and everything that I'm doing the social media through a friend of a friend. It's like, and then I'm working with a friend of mine who also got connected to this group. Like it's really cool to see how God like puts people in your path. And you get to work with, things that you believe in, and be able to like push towards that and get to know people that have the align with the same belief system that you do, like worldview. I do want to touch on this, but it is kind of changing the subject a little bit, but we can probably end on this topic a little bit, but how do you feel about having two sisters in the mental health field? When I wrote this question down, I was like laughing because I'm like, I just have never really talked to you about this.
No, I think it's honestly, I think it's super interesting, and I don't know why that's the case. Like, I don't know how y'all both ended up in this situation where you guys are both really interested. I think it comes from a place of wanting to understand mental health a lot better so that you can help people. And I think that's really cool and something that is super necessary and needed. So it's really cool. I mean, we've had some conversations already. Like, I've had conversations with both you and Gloria about, yeah, like either people in my life or certain things. And that's been really cool. But I don't know. I don't know how else I think about it other than just
Okay. It
it's
came
like
to
a
my
good
head.
resource. It's a super good resource to have. And I know nothing. I feel like I know nothing about it, but
I was wondering. I was like, I just feel like that hasn't been something that I don't know. I mean, you haven't really needed or I don't know. It's just funny because Gloria and I talk about it all the time. Gloria, our sister, is a school psychologist. So like, we'll talk about it and we have different theories and stuff because I come at it at a pretty different angle, mental health. And so it's just interesting. I don't know. I haven't talked to you or Charity about it that much, like our careers in that area.
Yeah, it's funny. I think I do come from I think I come at a really like a less healthy perspective. Because I think my understanding has always been like the really stereotypical like bad Christian understanding of I'm like, okay, even if I'm feeling bad, it must be like a spiritual thing, you know, like
That's
it's gonna
so
go
funny that you
away.
said
Just
it that way.
oh yeah, no, it's so true. And I think it's super interesting because I need to pick y'all's brain more about mental health because like even my practices, I feel like I view things very like in common sense. Like, okay, it makes sense, social media, like in comparing yourself and being spending too much time on doing anything is gonna be bad for your mental health. But I think the more scientific and psychological things I don't know about, like those are the things that I should be asking questions about. But it's so interesting because it's so beyond me.
Yeah, it well, it's that's okay. It's just funny because I just have never asked you like any. And I think we did have a conversation a few weeks back, and I think the consensus was like talking about how like mental health issues can be both spiritual and physical and very much chemical too. And so sometimes, you know, I think Christians tend to believe more of like, oh, just pray more, or, you know, something spiritually wrong is happening,
Like
where
your
that's
Bible today, you know, like
right, it which is not
cool.
gonna help. But it does, you know, those things are beneficial. It's a both and thing. And I think that's the benefit of going and studying an integrative approach to mental health, because you can look at both of those things and study God's word along with studying the tools of mental health and stuff like that. So, but
Well,
yeah.
yeah. So what do you think is kind of the bridge between someone like me and like you and Gloria who are studying it? Like, what is the bridge? Like, is it just engaging in conversation, like asking questions, you know, or is it another resource? Like,
No, you're saying like for somebody who's a Christian
who
and
doesn't
doesn't
know much
know.
about it. Yeah. About like practical and in like maybe the combination of like practical and spiritual mental health practices.
Yeah, that's a really good question. I think that's why, I mean, you know, not everything on social media is true and valid and everything, but if you do find someone who is a licensed clinical counselor, like mental health counselor, like they know their stuff, man. Like, I am not going to be licensed for another 2 years because that's how much time you get supervision. And so they know their stuff. So, like, I think that's the cool part about social media. It really has helped, like, the mental health field. People get more information out there, you know? Like, and that's kind of what I try to do here on the You Are Covered podcast. Like, I'm trying to, you know, educate and break it down for people who, you know, may not need to go to counseling at this season in their life, you know, but want to be more educated for maybe those around them who are having, you know, some issues with their mental health and going through hard seasons, just to be more educated. 'Cause we're, you know, if you care about a loved one, I mean, the chances are, I mean, the numbers are in, you'll probably run into someone that you care about dearly who struggles with their mental health, especially after the pandemic. So.
Yeah, I think that's super good. I think there's still a stigma, honestly, with like the male population of like going to counseling and exploring that.
Yeah, totally.
There's so much this like arrogance and pride of like we can figure it out if we like think through it enough or if we can just get like a handle on our lives, you know? Because
Yeah.
I feel like it always comes down to like, or are you being like responsible with like what you have? And then that will just like, you know, that's just gonna take your problems away if you like are organized enough. Like that's always been my like false perception, I think, on mental health is like if I just eliminate the things that stress me out, then like then I can get to a healthier mental state. But the thing is, I can't even get there. You know, it's like even the first step isn't just like trying to fix. I don't know. This is my perspective. It's completely could be completely false, but like,
No, this is great. Yeah, no,
yeah.
you're
Even
saying what
I've
a
always,
lot of people feel.
wow. Okay, yeah. I've always thought that like fixing my external things would give me the capacity to like work on internal things, and I think it's the other way around, where you need to face internal things first with people, ask for help, and like be in that vulnerable state. And then that's actually going to help you externally.
Yeah,
I don't
I
know.
think the thing for men typically is because it's not encouraged to learn about your own emotions. So like crying and like expressing yourself emotionally has always been looked down upon. But then the problem is that you're not actually taught how to do it properly or understand where it's coming from. Like I think the biggest thing is like knowing like when you experience anxiety or when you experience fear or sadness, like knowing where it is physically in your body, I think is like the biggest best point of reference. Like that's like the first thing that I feel like is so helpful. For
Whoa.
me, it was, you know, I feel like that's a big thing for men, just to know where it is so that you know what you're feeling, what your emotions are. Like, 'cause I just feel like that hasn't really been.
Where is it?
Yeah, where
Hannah, where is it? I'll just start going down and you just say when. Stop.
Well, typically, like it depends on who it is, but sometimes it's in your chest, and sometimes it's in your stomach, and sometimes it's tension in your temples, like here. So I think that's probably a good place to start. But you know, because I have my practicum this summer, and so I've been able to sit in sessions, and my favorite is when a guy comes in and he is going to counseling and he's trying to work on his relationships, and he always has a notebook. Like he's taking notes, and I just think that's just the coolest thing. Like they're concerned about the people around them, and they decide that they are going to work on themselves so that they can be better for others. And yeah, so I'm with you. The stigma is still there, but it's really cool that it's gonna start breaking down. It's okay. It's okay to talk to someone.
That's so cool. And the note taking, he's like super serious
I
about it,
know. It's great.
which
It's
is great.
great.
Yeah,
Yeah, because
no
men are
shame.
human too. Yeah, so you have emotions, a very human thing. So,
That's good.
do you have any last words that you'd want to share with the audience? I gotta wrap this up, but it's been like, I mean, it has gone so fast, Adam. Like we could literally talk for so long.
I know. That's what I was thinking. I was like,
So easy.
we honestly could go on some rabbit trails.
Yeah, I think this means that we will have you back on for the You Are Covered
Sweet, sweet.
podcast.
Yes, I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I'll save some of those words for next time.
Ooh, I like that. Okay,
I'll save
good.
some of
It's a
my
little
words.
teaser.
Yeah, exactly. You gotta keep something, desired,
Yes.
right?
Oh, I love that. Okay, well, I absolutely loved having you on the podcast, Adam, and thanks for going there with me and covering all the things.
Yeah. Thanks so much, Hannah, for having me. It was a blast, and I can't wait to hear what you come out with next. And hopefully, I'll be on another time.
Yep. All right. And as always, see you in the next episode.
See ya.
Thanks for listening and watching. Make sure you're subscribed to the You Are Covered podcast wherever you're listening or watching this show, and take some time to review it on iTunes. This goes such a long way. I know it takes like a few seconds to get there, but it really, really matters, and I would so appreciate it. It goes a long way, and it helps us build a community here in the digital space. So thanks so much ahead of time. As always, know that Jesus got you, girl, and you are covered. Be blessed.